You're listening to The Boss
and The Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And now joining us on the Progressive Insurance guest line, drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Dan Favoli now joining us. He's an NBA writer for Bleacher Report. Dan, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's begin with the Lakers. They are skidding here and at risk of having to be in the play-in. How concerned should the Lakers be?
I think they should be very concerned. It seems like Anthony Davis' back is going to be fine, which is good. Frank Vogel also said that LeBron's absence right now isn't medically related, so that should be a good sign for them. But if you're in play-in territory, or even if you're in this area, you're just increasing the difficulty of the run you have to make to get back to the finals. And finishing in the play-in would be the worst-case scenario, obviously, because all of a sudden you're setting up this one-game matchup, perhaps with the Golden State Warriors, and adding a level of difficulty to that path back to the finals. And even as it stands, you know, if you just finished sixth, you forfeited home court advantage at least through the first round of the playoffs, and probably longer if everything goes chalk. And now you're at a point too where it's, well, we'll take LeBron a while to ramp back up. How about Dennis Schroeder when he comes out of the league's health and safety protocols? They have a bunch of other players, including Anthony Davis, who are banged up right now. So while this team is still talented at full strength to get back to come out of the West and get back to the finals, their path there just seems to be getting increasingly difficult with every different report, with every different game that they play.
You know, speaking of levels of concern, you know, I want to talk to you about the Brooklyn Nets. My gosh, what a level of concern do we have there? Like, for example, even off the court, Kyrie's situation, fined again for the second time, even the $35,000 is nothing for him. But to me, it was more of what he said, including saying, I don't talk to pawns. My attention is worth more. What do you give about the Brooklyn Nets, what's going on here? And do you think this kind of behavior, let alone the injury situation with the big three, with the Harden and Durant, how is that going to affect them? How could that possibly affect them down the road? And do you see them able to run the table in the East with all this going on?
The Kyrie off the court stuff, I don't think ends up being a big deal for them. They have been that's been a thing all year, and I do think that Steve Nash has done a good job of answering questions about it to where he won't dig deep into it and make that a separate distraction as it could become. The bigger issue, I think, is just on the court, how healthy will they be? Mm-hmm. We've seen Kevin Durant deal with a bunch of different lower body injuries this year, and then more importantly, James Harden still out with that hamstring injury right now. He did say that he should be back before the playoffs, but those are fickle injuries, and if he's only going to get a couple games under his belt before the postseason, there could be a ramp-up period for him. I think we've seen how important he is to this team because he is the one that's committed to effectively running point guard for them when all the stars are on the court. They're playing under 500 basketball right now, and Kyrie and KD are in the lineup without James Harden. And so at full strength, this team is still terrifying on paper, and I absolutely think that they could come out of the East, but between wondering how is James Harden going to look when he comes back, what does the big three even look like together since they've just played in three games with each other, and then the overall defense, specifically when you're looking at the front court rotation, who's going to be closing games at the five, they do have a bunch of question marks there, and so I do not think they are the given to come out of the East that many have painted them as.
And Dan, do you see any similarities? You know, last year the Clippers, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard had a similar situation, had hardly played due to game management and other things, had hardly played any games together, and it really showed up in the playoffs. I mean, they had that surprising early exit. Do you see this issue with the big three not having court time together and really Harden saying he's very confident he's going to come back for the playoffs? But as you said, this is a very precarious injury with a hamstring strain, and it was re-aggravated, you know, 2 weeks ago. I mean, do you think it could be a similar situation, or is this three so dynamic that they don't need that time together on the court to succeed?
I think the Clippers are an interesting parallel. Familiarity is important, and these formations of this magnitude, when you're dealing with such a huge level of star power, they can take time. They're not always seamless like it was for LeBron and Anthony Davis last year. I think you also make a good point that they're so dynamic. Maybe it doesn't matter. They're all three so good one-on-one that you don't really necessarily need a flow or synergy on the court. But you're entering a postseason, and you've played in just seven games together. And on top of that, the reason you've missed all these games is because the most important of the three, in James Harden, has missed a bunch of time. I do think that could absolutely come back to haunt you. And they're just, again, their star power is so high that they can certainly overcome it. But there is that potential for things to, I wouldn't say go wrong and see them implode, but to where they're not the best version or the actualized version of this team that everybody saw when the James Harden trade was first pulled off.
We're talking to Dan Favale. He's an NBA writer for Bleacher Report. Okay, finishing out on the East, we've discussed the Nets. The 76ers will likely end up with the first seed. Let's play it out. How do those teams match up if they do, in fact, meet in the conference championship?
I think when you look at the East right now, I would absolutely expect two of those teams to be in the conference finals. Just I don't see that other imminent threat below them, even though Miami can certainly maybe punch above its weight, perhaps Boston too. If Philly's the one seed, they have the luxury then of you don't have to play Brooklyn or Milwaukee, so you would expect them to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's interesting when you're looking at how Brooklyn matches up with either of them. I think the Philly's uniquely built to give them more of a problem on defense because you have Ben Simmons, you have Matisse Thybulle, you have Danny Green with Joel Embiid on the back line. And so if that ends up being the conference final series, that gets super interesting. And it might come down to can Philly generate enough half-court offense, specifically in crunch time, since that's one of the largest concerns with those teams. And looking at the Bucks and Nets, but specifically in what would be, you know, presumably a second-round matchup, Milwaukee's also built to sort of disrupt on defense. I don't know the same level of one-on-one defenders just because of how good Ben Simmons is in Philly, but between Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and the way that they've shown they can protect the rim in general under Mike Budenholzer, they can make life difficult on Brooklyn, and they probably have more one-on-one scoring juice than Philly. And so I do think that, you know, if either of those two teams went up against the Nets right now, I don't know that I would pick them in a landslide, but I might be more inclined to pick them to come out against Brooklyn in seven games.
We're talking with Dan Favale, national NBA expert and writer for Bleacher Report. Dan, I'd love to get your thoughts on the NBA's MVP race this year. You know, I'm looking at Giannis, Steph, Jokic, Joel. You're the expert. Tell us who you like.
I think to win, it's become clear that Jokic is going to do so in a landslide, and I think we've gotten to the point where he clearly deserves it. He checks just every conceivable box when you're looking at the numbers, when you're looking at the storyline boost, because of now he's had to help carry the Nuggets without Jamal Murray following his injury. Denver is also in the top four spot in the West, so you really can't look at their record and say they're not good enough when they're 22 games over 500 at this point. So I think he's going to be the clear number one. It'll be interesting to see who winds up in number two. Has Joel Embiid played in enough games? You mentioned Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think there will be voter fatigue for him, but he has, sure, to me, in my estimation, been one of the three most valuable players in basketball this season. And so I do expect the top three to shake out in some form there, where you have Jokic at one, probably Embiid at two, and maybe Giannis at three, with the top five being rounded out with some combination of Steph, Luka Doncic, and maybe Damian Lillard able to sneak his way in there.
Dan, we've got about two more minutes, and we talked about the East. There might be three teams who have a shot at the championship when you include the Bucks, 76ers, and Nets. How many teams in the West can you legitimately claim have a chance to win it all?
I think you can go with five. The Lakers might be the riskiest proposition in that group right now, but if LeBron and AD are going to be on the court, you have to throw them in there. The Clippers have been playing better of late. The Jazz and the Suns have the two best records in the league. And then you look at the Nuggets, where they do lose Jamal Murray, but Michael Porter Jr. has played so well. They have the MVP in Jokic. If they get Will Barton back, if they get Monte Morris back, and they're dealing with a rotation that's close to full strength, I still think they're right there. And so, you know, we can order those teams in different ways. I think the Suns, the Clippers, and the Lakers are probably the most dangerous of those five right now, but I do think all five are absolutely capable of coming out of the West and winning the title.
So I've got one more minute. I want to ask you, well, in the East, you've got Celtics, Heat, even Hawks, I guess, battling to stay out of the play-in. And over in the West, you've got the Lakers and the Blazers battling. Who does not make it? Who are you thinking has to fall to seven and have to play into the tournament?
I think in the East, it's going to end up being Miami. Their offense has been, Jimmy Butler's been spectacular, but their offense overall has been this unpleasant mystery box all year. And so I think that Boston will edge them out for that sixth spot. And then in the West, I do think it's going to end up being, you know, the Blazers and the Warriors as those 7 and 8 teams, with also the Grizzlies and the Spurs in that playoff. I just can't, if we're going to expect LeBron to play at all, I just can't imagine the Lakers falling all the way to the 7 seed.
Yep. Okay. Dan Chavalli, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your being with us.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me. Take care.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to talk to Charlie Polillo. He is a radio show host for KFNC Houston. He is a baseball maven, so we will talk a little MLB with him, including the fact that he was just on site in New York watching the Yankees-Astros series. It'll be Charlie Polillo when we come back here on the Sports Map Radio Network.